Welcome to the Upstaging Gentlemen podcast. This is Michael with Play With Your Food Productions.
And Nathan with the Upstaging Gentlemen. I'm just going to say that. And Legendary.
And Legendary. And our upstaging host, Alfonso Garcia.
Hello, everybody.
Hey, how's Alfonso.
What's up, buddy?
That's all I got.
We got a great intro. I am jealous of that, to be honest.
I'm Alfonso, and that's all I've got.
And here's the deal, though. It's like biblical jealousy I have for you. When we get, I'm Nathan. Alfonso! I'm like biblically jealous that, like murdering your brother kind of thing.
You guys don't even realize it's a bucket list checked off, getting an intro like that. And I get it. I get it every week.
Well, I'm glad we could do that for you.
I
next.
Get it every week.
All right.
I would say some awesome stuff about our podcast.
Yeah, we got a great episode coming up. But before we start on that, we just want to tell everybody about what's happening with the podcast. So in the last few months, with the continued growth that we've had, we have made the decision to move over from Buzzsprout over to another host company called Simplecast. So we just want to let people know that. So in case you go to Buzzsprout looking for us, we've talked about Buzzsprout a lot in our past episodes. We're not there anymore.
They're actually deleting our episodes as we speak, literally.
We're gone. We are
bye,
at
Felicia.
Simplecast. And so there are new podcast hosts, but it just like at the size that we've just gotten to, that's a better host platform for us.
Also, I'm going to brag about this. They actually reached out to us about like them, like representing us, right? Didn't they? Or is that someone else?
No, they stole us away.
They stole us. They stole our heart and left it in San Francisco. But no, for real, like the growth has been so good. And really it's obviously a tribute to all you out there listening to us. And as we talked before, it's not just local. Like it's actually not. Like
it's nobody local.
Yeah, my mom isn't. I don't think my mom listens anymore. Actually, no. She's the one locally. I think
I heard the number of downloads we got, it's and I insane. Said, "Well, none of my friends are listening. So where is that coming from?"
It's because all over the world.
You know what? We have new friends.
That's what it is. We've got new, better friends.
Yeah,
yeah.
New better friends.
Oh, I didn't go on record saying that. No,
you can't say
I rescind
Alfonso
that.
Said you guys aren't better
I
friends.
I love all of you guys. Please listen to our podcast so we can converse about it.
And our friends in Japan, in the city of, am I allowed to say it?
No,
I'll say
Alfonso
it.
Alfonso will say it.
Fukuoka.
That's not how you pronounce it.
Yes, it is.
Well, I'm pretty sure it is.
We can't. If you say it, then John won't be able to put it out.
Okay.
But the growth has been so good. So thank you. So many comments on Spotify and Apple Podcast, right? So many comments.
We want to thank you so much for the comments you guys have been sending in. And we'd also like to work on growing our Facebook and our Instagram.
Yeah.
So if you want to hit us up on there too, we'd love to. Anywhere you write us, we'll write you back.
Without getting too sentimental, it actually, obviously, we're in a room just chatting it up, but the comments, the likes, the downloads, it's really just cool to see that everyone's engaging and just investing in what we're doing. We literally are just dudes chatting about theater, passion, chasing your dreams. And as we say all the time, we don't know everything. We're not saying we're God's gift to anything. Well, there's things, but we'll leave that off the podcast. But the truth is, we just give our opinions, take what you can, throw away what you don't want to use. But truly, thank you very much for just the growth, the success. And it's not even about the success. It really is just cool that people are just investing and dialoguing with us. So thank you so much.
It is very humbling. And I joke, but there are friends that have come to me and said, hey, you know, I'm listening to your podcast in the morning. It's part of my routine. And one of my friends, actually, I saw their story and you can see their day. And part of that day was like listening to our podcast. I was like, that's so cool. Wow. That we're part of these people's lives. And that means a lot to me. That
really
the fact that for at least, you know, for 40 minutes, we get that.
You know what, Alfonso? Like, who the heck are you?
Exactly.
Like, you know, I mean this seriously. I love you, but I actually don't know anything about you. You just showed up one day. You're like, oh, I found you guys by listening to the podcast. And through a series of events, you're now the host. And what do you do for a living?
So we can actually go into another episode with me one day.
We should feature Alfonso because I really don't know who Alfonso is.
Let's do that another episode.
Okay, let's do that another episode.
We actually have an awesome guest.
I'm watching you, Alfonso.
You keep side-eyeing me.
You're an enigma.
It's awkward. They're both sitting in front of me side-eyeing each other.
Yeah. All right.
Let's talk about our awesome guest.
But we've got a way better guest today.
Yeah. let's talk about our guest. So today, we want to talk about the Ramona Pageant. That is the California State Play, the official California outdoor play. It's been going for over 100 years.
Wow.
And to discuss the Ramona Pageant today, we have got a very special guest, good friend of mine, Monica Reichel. Hey, Monica.
Hello. Hi, Monica. Thank you for having me.
Welcome.
You are very welcome. So, the Ramona pageant.
Wait, before you get into that, I really want to know how you guys met because I heard like a part of the story and I want this to be on public knowledge on how you eat pasta, Mike.
Wow.
So, how'd you guys meet?
Well, the first official to see, I don't make good impressions.
I know.
I don't make good impressions.
It was an interesting impression.
So after a while, I just started going out of my way to make a bad impression, like a memorable impression, because I know I'm not going to make a good impression on my own, right?
So you can't beat them, join them kind of thing.
Yeah, I'm, you know.
I know you don't.
I
let her tell the story.
Because
then you're gonna milk it. I want to hear her tell what you did.
Well, I'll tell this part of it.
Okay.
She was working for a newspaper.
Okay.
As a journalist there, and so I'd read her articles in the paper every week, and I'd just be like, "Ooh, celebrity!" And then one day she emails me about some auditions I was having. She asks a question. I'm like, "Good heavens! It's Monica Reichel from the newspaper. She just emailed me." And I was like, "Whoa!" And I was shocked and appalled and just like, this is the coolest thing ever. Nobody emails me. And so that was like, you know, when we first started talking. But then the first day we met, well, go ahead and tell the story.
Well, Michael had gotten sucked into a theater company that I was a part of, and he was asked to join the board. And so we had a board meeting at a public space at a restaurant, barbecue, which alone would be kind of somewhat cautious to approach, and I was seated next to Michael, but in a barbecue place, Michael ordered some kind of fettuccine pasta dish, and he was trying his best to eat like a civilized human being. However, it did require some slurping. And there were, you know, how the noodle at the very end kind of does that little flip as you suck it into your mouth. Well, it set forth many, many droplets of whatever sauce it was. Not a red sauce, thankfully. And
it probably had brisket in it if it was barbecue, right?
Like, or
I think it was fettuccine Alfredo.
Oh,
the white sauce.
Oh,
traditional.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I was wearing some white sauce. And I looked over at him after I got sprayed, and he looked very, unfortunately,
hold on,
sad. And
I don't know people. I mean, I don't know if I've heard this. Maybe toddlers slurp pasta. But Mike, there is a way to eat pasta. I think YouTube will show you.
It's considered a compliment, actually. So.
Oh, if you slurp, it's a compliment?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm not educated
with
that.
Which culture is that?
Well, yeah. It's not our culture.
Mike's culture.
In the world of Mike.
Is that the way that they eat pasta in
Fukuoka?
It's not how you say it.
That's how you say it.
I love that's how you first met, and then you decide to be his friend, or what?
It was definitely friendship after that. And we've done many shows together, and
awesome. Well, what's this, Ramona? I know a little bit about it, but go into detail.
Yeah, tell us about Ramona.
Well, Ramona is the longest running outdoor play in the nation. This will 2027 will be 104 years.
Wow.
Yeah, it's big and it's huge. So the bowl itself seats 5,000, 6,000 people. So it's huge and it's in Hemet. And it's been going since 1923.
Real quick, the backdrop, isn't it a hillside?
The
like
whole,
the seats, right?
Yeah, so you have the amphitheater.
Mike took me there once.
And then the entire backdrop is, yeah, a mountainside, and you have the hacienda. We run horses full tilt through there during the production.
Whoa.
Horses up and down the mountain, Native Americans up and down the mountain. So we use this entire mountain as our performance space.
That's epic.
It is, and it's a cast of over 200. It's takes about, I mean, over 300 volunteers total, you know, behind the scenes.
It's volunteers?
On stage, almost entirely volunteer.
Wow.
The two lead actors get paid. Some of the specialty acts get paid. The musicians get paid.
Okay.
But everybody else, it's a volunteer. And people, you know, they're families that do it, and they do it for generations. So, for example, the musicians, the Arias Troubadours, they started in, that family started in 1924, and they are still, the family is still involved in the show to this day.
That's actually so cool.
It's amazing. And they're so talented. They're ridiculously talented.
And how long is the rehearsal process for something like that? When does it begin?
We typically start middle end of January for, so we've cast and then read through, and then rehearsals are on the weekends, pretty much January through April. And then we perform the last 2 weekends of April, first weekend of May. So
it runs both those weekends?
It runs 3 weekends.
Oh, 3 weekends, sorry.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we've done it a little later if Easter kind of falls on one of those, but...
Does that fall under a theater group, or is it called the Ramona Pageant, or what's it called?
It's, well, so the space is called the Ramona Bowl Amphitheater. Okay. Traditionally, it's been called Ramona Pageant. However, in the 2000s, a lot of people don't get what pageant is. Mm. They tend to think of it as, oh, how can I enter my daughter in this pageant?
I see.
And so in the 2000s, they changed it to the Ramona Outdoor Play. Okay. But most people still refer to it as the Ramona Pageant. That's tradition because, again, family's in it forever. So
right. That's what I think I heard it as, Ramona Pageant. That's
yes.
The Ramona Pageant.
So I had heard, because when you're up there and you're sitting in the audience, you can't see any other houses, you can't see anything but just the hillside. And I had heard that they had bought like a lot of surrounding property so that you wouldn't be able to see houses and such. Is that true?
Oh, yes. They own extensive acreage all around. So, yeah, that housing would not encroach on it. And that was all purchased early on. So somebody early days had the foresight to see that urban sprawl or suburban sprawl coming in. So yeah.
Who started or wrote or adapted this story?
So it was originally a novel by Helen Hunt Jackson in the 1880s. And she was a Native American activist, and she'd been writing and trying to get people to understand the plight of the Native Americans in Southern California as settlers were coming in, you know, evicting people off their land that, you know, we've lived on this land forever. And suddenly these people show up and go, no, I own the land. Get off. Lots of violence. So she had been trying to get, you know, people to see what was going on. And it was not getting much response. So then she decided to write a fictional novel, like a Romeo and Juliet style love story. But she took actual incidents from history that were going on and put them in the novel. So she might have changed the name. But for example, you know, Temecula getting settled, you know, and the Native Americans being driven off. That's part of that story. That's history.
Okay.
Characters actually based on historical people. So that happened. And then in the 20s, there was a man named Garnet Holm who did a lot of outdoor pageants. That was kind of his thing. He did some up in the Bay Area, some, you know, everywhere. And he's the one that came out and he scouted this land. He had the novel. He wanted to adapt. So he adapted the first script. He wanted the backdrop to be this mountain that is basically the setting of these stories. And it used to be the audiences would come in and they would sit on rocks. So there was no seating.
Oh, wow.
And they built this little hacienda and it was all rough. But, you know, thousands of people would show up and watch this show in this rough outdoorsy atmosphere, and it's become more and more groomed over the years.
Yeah, and that's really cool.
Yeah.
And this was based on an event that took place in the San Jacinto Valley.
Yes, absolutely. So the Native American cult. So there was, so while there is no Ramona in the sense of the one actually written, there was a woman named Ramona Lubo who was the basis for that character. There was a man named Juan Diego who was the basis for the Alessandro character. And Juan Diego was murdered in such a horrific way that we couldn't even stage it if we wanted to, by a man named Sam Temple, who in the play is called Jim Farrar. And it was just one of those things where Juan Diego had parked his horse, I guess, for lack of a better term, parked his horse. And then when he left, he took the wrong horse by mistake. And so Sam Temple said, oh, that's a horse thief. And then, shot him, dragged him behind his horse, stabbed him. And like, it was crazy overkill. And that's history. And they have recordings of his trial where he talks about all the stuff he did to this guy for just mistakenly taking the wrong horse. And that's all, that's all in this play.
And how much is the play, or how much is it cost to go to? Is it online?
That's
website.
There is a website, RamonaBowl.com.
Okay.
So okay, I think cool. If you go to RamonaPageant.com, it'll reroute you to RamonaBowl.com.
Well, I heard you say there's musicians. So is there singing, or is it just background music or transition?
There's singing, there's dancing. Oh, so okay. We have scenes that kind of celebrate the early California Spanish culture. We have a scene that celebrates the Native American culture. So there's singing and dancing in both of those scenes.
Okay.
And then lots of drama in between, lots of cowboys shooting off guns, riding their horses.
For a while, there was a cannon. They would literally fire off a cannon. You could hear the thing from blocks away.
It was amazing. We had a cannon.
That went away.
Yeah, I guess the fire marshal wasn't too happy about it. So
when new ones come in, things change.
Yeah.
Has the show relatively remained unchanged since its inception, or has there been changes throughout the years?
There have been a lot of changes. So looking at some of the pictures of the early productions, because if you go to the Bowl, they have a museum and they've photographed every year of the play. So you can see, but you can see where it was kind of hokey. There wasn't always that respect for the Native American culture that has kind of come about later. So I think, you know, the script was written in a way so there used to not be amplification because, you know, 20s, 30s, 40s. Right. So a lot of times the script was written where you would say the character you're talking to's name over and over again just in case the audience didn't hear it the first time. So so a lot of those were still in it. I was Ramona in, 2001, 2, 3, and 7. And so a lot of those edits were still, they hadn't finished editing some of those out. And then in 2015, they actually rewrote the script entirely. So they changed the narration. They changed, they gave it a lot more action, a little more cinematic, kind of picked up the pace with it. A lot of old timers prefer the old script. There's, you know, and there's beauty in both, I think, personally. But, and that is much more, I think, with the rewrite, some of the comic relief characters, I think, were given more depth. They're a little more real. I had not been in the show for a few years, and when they rewrote it, they asked me to come in and play a small character named Aunt Rye. And, you know, and she was just kind of, you know, hokey fun. But then when they rewrote it, they gave her much more to do and a little more depth. And I'm like, yeah, sign me up. I'll do it.
But what was cool about this is, you know, beyond the play, this was historically such a huge event for the city. Like, I remember, you know, in decades gone by, people used to come into town in tour buses. I mean, you would drive up to the Ramona Bowl and you would just see all these tour buses. Not like one or two or five, you'd see just rows and rows of tour buses, people coming in from all over. And the city would, you know, get all in on this because it was a huge boom to the economy, because they'd come in on these buses, they'd stop, they'd get food at the restaurants, they would go see the show. The city would promote this thing. You'd see like banners hanging over the main street in town. And there would be the Ramona Parade.
Oh, yeah.
Right? The Ramona Parade.
Down Florida Avenue.
Ramona and Alessandro would go to visit all the different schools and do a Q&A time and a presentation and do a scene from the shows. And
because it's California history, we do a performance for all the fourth graders in the area. So they get bussed in. We do a performance for 5,000 fourth graders.
Ford does California and missions, I think, right?
Yeah. So I think it's one of those things where it can substitute for the mission project.
That's cool.
So, yeah, and the kids, that's a wild performance. 5,000 fourth graders screaming. And
I know Mike said that you were a board member, but what is that, what your job is with the Ramona pageant, or what do you do?
Oh, well, we can break that news right here. Oh,
right, wait, here, right,
we
now.
Can, we can break it
breaking
right
news.
Here,
oh,
right
now. Breaking news.
Breaking news.
So Monica is now the new
artistic director for 2027 Ramona. I'll be directing the show this
year. Oh, congratulations.
So, thank you.
We broke that news right here on the Upstage and Gentlemen podcast.
That's epic.
Which, John, that's why we asked, can you do an early turnaround? Because we do want to break the news right here.
Wait, that's, right that here. Sounds huge.
It's enormous. Like there's so many mechanisms and, you know, so many people. And
yeah, you just talked about horses and bands and cast size. And
yeah, it's huge. So I've been, so I was Ramona and Ramona's understudy several years. And then I was out for a few years because I teach high school. So once I started teaching high school, I'm like, no, I need my weekends to myself. And then I got pulled back in and then I was Aunt Rye. And then I was the narration. So they used to have the narration on the new script. They had the narration recorded. It was by the actress Irene Bedard, who did, she was the voice of Pocahontas. So she recorded that and I got to replace her. They decided they wanted to no longer have recording because people kind of tuned it out. You know, it's like voice from the heavens. Right. And if it wasn't loud enough or, you know, there's a, you know, quail with baby quail on the, you know, everybody's watching that and nobody's paying attention. Right. So the two directors ago, Dennis decided he wanted to have a person there. So I got to be that person and I did that for a few years. And then I spent the last 2 years being the assistant director and now it's me.
And you were crazy enough to say yes.
You'll take it all. Crazy enough to say yes.
That's exciting. So does that mean in April will be your show that you're directing then?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. I'll go see it.
Oh, good. Yeah. Come see it. Everybody see it. Should come see it.
I will be there.
Let's do an Upstaging Gentlemen trip.
Hey, you know what? They have they have some cool box seats. They get the box seats.
They have these wonderful box seats that are shaded and they're up in the back and people will come and they'll deliver food to your seat. It's really kind of magical.
We'll see. Maybe Upstaging Gentlemen will sponsor that because I can't drop that. Box seats sound pricey.
But In talking about Ramona and Alessandro, there are some pretty prestigious people who have played those roles before.
Oh, yes. So Raquel Welch played Ramona in 1959. And then before she was Welch, she was Tanaha.
Can you give our listeners on who that is? Or do you know what they've done? And
Raquel Welch?
Yeah.
She's Raquel Welch.
Okay. Well, if you don't know who she is, Google it. There's probably listeners that have no idea who that is.
She's a pretty famous actress.
She's gorgeous bombshell actress.
Yeah, like 60s and the 70s.
All right, so Google her because the description is she's a beautiful actress. So Google
she
her.
She passed away not long ago. Yes, she. Oh, yeah, she's amazing. And then in 1969, it was Anne Archer. And mostly what I remember her from as Jack Ryan's wife from the Harrison Ford films, but she's done a bunch of stuff. Victor Jory was a director and he was the overseer in Gone with the Wind. So yeah, lots of talent through there.
And there's been several film versions.
There have been. There was Dolores Del Rio, I think, is the silent film. There's the silent film. There was a speaking film. There was a telenovela. A telenovela.
Ooh, I want to see that one.
I know. Yeah. I have not. So, so definitely film adaptations.
I love the history of all that.
Yeah, it's amazing.
It is. And that museum that she was talking about, you can walk into it and just, if you go into it before you watch the actual performance and you see all the different years and all the people that played Alessandra, like you can see the original audience all showing up, literally sitting in the dirt. Because there were like Monica said, there were no seats, but you just see that crowd all getting together, getting ready to watch the show, and then just throughout the years, and it's funny you look at it and you just see how things have changed, but there's that show still going after over 100 years. And let's talk about the Cowboys.
Oh, the Cowboys!
The Cowboys are the coolest thing.
Oh, the Cowboys are amazing. So it's this group of grown men dressing like cowboys. They bring their horses up every weekend to rehearse and perform. They get to, you know, shoot off blanks in their guns. They are having such a great time. They get a shoeing stipend for their horses, but they don't get paid. And they're there early. They have all this equipment and these gorgeous horses. So the first year I got involved with Ramona, well, the second year when I actually was Ramona, you know, I'd only lived here for about a year. You know, they were so welcoming to me and they said, hey, come on over. We're having brunch. Come join us. They're the nicest guys. And then at the end of the performances, where they have all their equipment and their the trailers, and they corral the horses. They have a camp there, so they have a big cowboy camp celebration afterwards. And there's usually food and a big, you know, like a campfire. And sometimes somebody's got a guitar. You know, there's music. I mean, so they're just so welcoming. They are really just the sweetest people. They really do make the show.
But check this. So it is outside. It is like, you know, in the natural environment. What happens when rattlesnakes come around?
Oh, rattlesnakes. Because it is, yeah, it is weird. So, for example, we have a group called the Rock Indians, and they're part of this beautiful spectacle, and they're up on the mountain. And the way it has worked is all of the Rock Indians, they get a blanket, and they're hiding behind all these rocks up on the mountain. All the rocks are numbered, and if they spot a rattlesnake, they put their blanket over the rock, and then there's somebody like a handler that will go in and take care of the snake. And somebody's job is to spot those blankets.
Like during the show.
During the show, The show is not disrupted. Usually they go through the trails and they try to make noise and clear them out and scare them off ahead of time. But, you know, eventually you do get one ambitious rattlesnake that's like, hey, this is my big break.
That's actually crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
a lot of nature.
Then you can go to cowboy camp after the show and see, the cowboys always throw a big party. I remember this. I got to be like on the director's staff for 2 years early on. And one of the things I remember is cowboy camp. And you go there afterwards and it's all the cowboys after the show's over. They get a big bonfire going and they're cooking away. And you're like, what are you making there? Like, rattlesnake. You want some?
Yeah. Yeah. For a while, it was like, okay, well, this is what we killed today during the show. So, yeah.
I'll try it, I guess.
They'll skin it right there, cook it up.
Did you try it?
I can't remember.
I would try it, I guess.
I would absolutely try that. I want some rattlesnake jerky.
I did try it.
Was it good or nah?
It was fine. I mean, it was, you know, it's a little stringy texture.
Usually the flavor of stuff is usually pretty good, but your brain goes, wait, this is what I'm eating. That's the hard part.
Yeah.
I do have a question. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead. Oh, I was going to say, we did find out, though, that various species of rattlesnakes are protected. So now we've trained the wranglers to relocate.
Which ones relocated?
Yeah. So
you got to be careful of that, even probably more so nowadays with protecting.
Yeah. Yeah. Things, no. So. And I mean, we are kind of in their space. So,
right. I respect that.
Little respect. Yeah.
I know this is probably more for our local listeners, but how do you get involved? Is there an audition process? Is there a way to sign up? How do you get involved, even production or on stage? How does that work?
Absolutely. Typically what we do is we do coaching for the auditions. So for example, let's say you have no idea what to expect and it's not an easy venue to just walk into and be like, okay, so probably November I'll do coaching sessions where they'll get the sides for the auditions and they'll get a chance to work in the space and get an idea of what I'm looking for. And then the auditions themselves will be probably December, and I still need to work out the dates based on what's going on up at the Bowl for other events. But online at the website, you get to their website, ramonabowl.com, and there's a tab that says Ramona, and typically you pull it down, and there will be, I don't think it's up yet, but there will be an audition thing. And there'll be a form that you can fill out online or you can print out and submit. That also works for if you want to work backstage. Let's say you want to help with, you know, hair and makeup. Oh, we need you. Come join us and help with hair and makeup. Come help with costumes because it's, you know, you're costuming 200 plus people.
Yeah,
and some of those
of
have more than one costume. Suddenly that's a lot of petticoats that need to be taken care of.
And that's on a website where you could say get involved kind of thing.
Yes.
Is that where they could look in the info when you release the dates and stuff?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. So it'll be,
it sounds like you obviously with that big of a production, it's year round commitment. It sounds like to direct or artistic producer direct.
Yeah.
It sounds like you're already busy on it and it's not October, you know, or November.
Yeah, I am. I had a meeting yesterday with the board president, so talking about what was needed, who, you know, we have some people who may not be coming back for next year, so figuring out what positions we need to fill. So, like I said, we have a group called the Rock Indians, so we need somebody for that. We'll be looking for somebody to help with the Native American choreography. When Dennis Anderson was director for, I don't know, 20 some odd years, he had a group that came in, the Red Tail Spirit. Oh, they have a whole name, but that's all I remember of the name, who would come in and do that part. And then for the last 2 years, Dwayne Menard, who is the director, he is Native American. So he choreographed that whole scene. So now it's me, and I am not Native American, but I would like it to be authentic. So, right. So you know, if someone out there is, you know, a Native American choreographer and like, hey, I wanna do this, yeah, please come find us.
One follow up question. Mm-hmm. I heard you say some people aren't coming back. So people that choose to come back, do they have the rite of passage to come back and play the roles? Or do you audition everybody again and start over, or is it?
It's up to the director's discretion as far as
if it's closed or not.
Yeah. Okay. So a lot of times, like the cowboys will come back and play their part. So right. We have a wonderful man named Dan Ferguson who's been our bad guy for the last. Oh my gosh! I think I missed working with him by a year. So I think he's been there 12 years as our bad guy. And I mean, personally, I can't imagine replacing him because he does an amazing job.
And you don't want to have to train someone else new if they're willing to come back and play the role that you're enjoying. Right. Then why fix it kind of thing?
Exactly. Okay. But then, you know, the other characters will be auditioned. So.
Okay, that's cool.
Yeah.
So I wanted to just talk for a second about the Rock Indians because that is one of the most stunning parts of the whole show.
Oh, it is.
I remember I went to see the show when I was in fourth grade and the Rock Indians there would put, you're sitting there and again, you're looking at this whole hillside. Again, it doesn't look like, you know, just a set of a play. It's an actual outdoor, surrounding and up on this mountain, you're watching and all of a sudden just all these, like, I don't know how many, it just seems like, you know, when I'm that little seemed like it was like 10,000 just but hopped up.
Probably when you were seeing it, probably about 100 Rock Indians just pop up out of nowhere. And you can hear the audience gasp. It's so beautiful.
It's crazy. They all just stand up and you're like, whoa, they cover the hill and then they go. But it's like that's their big part, but it is stunning. It's the most memorable part.
Mike, my first experience about the Ramona pageant was you brought me up there for a rehearsal. I think it was the first year maybe you were a board member. And you told me, the one thing you told me, you were like, you showed me the space before the rehearsal. They were having a rehearsal, I think, when I was there. We saw part of it. And you want me to meet someone. But I remember you showed me up on the hill and you were like, you have no idea. They're up there.
Yeah.
You just don't know. Mm-hmm. And also, that was the big thing you pushed to me. And you were like, they just appear. And you're like,
I don't
know where they went, where they came from. That was one big thing you pushed to me, and you're like, how authentic it was.
Yeah, because it's like you talk to people, and they're like, I was a Rock Indian. I was a Rock Indian.
You talk to anybody. We had our county supervisor, Jim Venable. He was a Rock Indian, and he would host fundraisers up at the Ramona Bowl because he's like, this place was special to me because I was a kid here, and I was one of those kids that stood up in this scene. And yeah, anybody in town, either they saw it in fourth grade, or they were a Rock Indian. It's amazing. That's
cool. Yeah. I remember you telling me that, Mike. You wanted to show me that because you were like, they were up there somewhere. And I remember you pushing that.
It's crazy. What you're going to see in there. Like you go to see the show and you just get immersed in this culture, this Native American culture. Again, with you hear the music and the Native American dancers, like the hoop dancer.
Oh yes, Terry. He performed on the Olympic during the Olympic opening ceremony. He's a world class award winning hoop dancer, and he would come and hoop dance for us.
That's cool.
You know, just
what are those dates again? Because I'm actually going to put on my calendar as we make our next season. I want to make sure I leave it open.
I think it's April 17th. Okay. Is that first Saturday?
And Mike, we're really going to do it upstage, gentlemen. We're going to do it.
Yay!
We're going to do a live remote.
Well.
That'd be amazing.
I don't know if I'll be able to be in the audience or not.
You're going to be a Rock Indian?
Well, dare me to go and audition for Ramona? Ooh. Like not the play Ramona, but for the character Ramona.
You look cute in that dress.
Okay. Dare me?
No, I don't. I'm going to stay away from politics. No, I think you should just go enjoy and watch it in the box seats with us.
No, I probably won't get cast anyway.
I know the director. Probably not a good idea.
I love you, Michael.
She shook her head.
We'll just leave it at that.
It's the first weekend in April, you said?
Last two weekends of April. So it should be April 17th, I think it is.
Oh, and the 25th or 24th.
And then,
yeah,
and then May 1st and 2nd.
Okay.
So.
Okay, I'm putting it down.
Cool. I could do it. Oh, Alessandro, look at me. I'm the very beautiful Ramona.
That was outstanding.
You're going to ruin our street
cred. I'm an actress, too. Did I mention that?
Yeah, good job on that acting skills.
Thank you. Thank you.
But honestly, congrats, though, on that, though. That's so cool. I mean,
it's going to be beautiful.
Even just knowing the history now that you're a part of that history in a whole nother level is really cool. Just being in it, helping on production, well, being in it multiple times, mm-hmm. being behind the scenes, helping with production, and now you're running the production. That's pretty prestigious. You're going to be in the history books. That's really cool.
Speaking of the history of it, it's been going on for so long. You have to have somebody in that cast that's been there for years and years. Do you have somebody that's been there the longest?
Actually, she retired last year. She started, Teresa, she started, I think, when she was maybe like 3, 4, 5 years old. And she, you know, in the 30s, 20s, wow. 30s, and she retired last year. She had a harder time getting around because it's a rough stage, but she was still there.
I bet she had so much respect though, right? For having been through decades. Yeah.
Yes, it's outstanding. And we had some of the Arias retire last year. No, year before. For them because they wanted to retire in 24 because that was their 100 years. But one of the guys played at Woodstock. One of the guys, wow. So they were like these world-class musicians. And we just had so much respect for them, too, because all the things that they have done and the talent that they have. So, yeah.
Does Ramona have a theater outside of that? Do they have a theater company, too? Isn't there a theater company that's connected to a different company?
Adjacent in the parking lot is a small playhouse called Ramona Hillside Players.
Oh, okay.
And they are their own theater company, but they're,
They share the space, kind of. Okay.
Symbiotic relationship. Weren't
they started by the Ramona Bowl?
They were originally started by the Ramona Bowl to do some other promotional things. They did Virginia of the Valley, which was some kind of Ramona fan fiction, is my understanding. And they've done the Trial of Sam Temple as a stage thing there. So the big villain. And
well, in the future, I know we got to wrap it up, but in the future, I'd love to have you on in the future. And maybe as you're a little bit more into the process, talk about the chaos of it.
Oh, yeah.
And then we can maybe bring you on to kind of wrap it up and see how it all went and if Mike got the role or not.
Yes. I would love to talk about if Mike got the role or not.
I have a feeling we're going to be getting some audition prep in future episodes.
I'd love to hear that. Even just talk about what that looks like and everything in the future.
Absolutely.
We'll see. If people like comment on the Spotify and be like, do it, audition, maybe I will.
Guys, no. Okay, don't comment that way.
It's not encouraged.
But honestly.
I'll video it.
We'll see if they comment, cast him.
We're going to lose followers, probably. No, but congratulations. It's such a cool thing. The history of that and just. You're going to be awesome. Which we're going to go see it. So we'll hear more about it.
All right. So again, it's the Ramona pageant. It is the official California outdoor state play and the longest running outdoor play in the nation. You said?
Yes. Yes.
Wow. And you are the director. Congratulations.
I'm glad we got to break that in.
Yeah. So thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
That is it for this episode of the Upstaging Gentlemen podcast. This is Michael with Play With Your Food Productions.
And Nathan.
And Alfonso. And we'll catch you guys next time.
Later.
Later.